Welcome to Love at First Science, the podcast dedicated to dig deep into the human body, science, and anatomy. My name is Celeste. I'm a trained physio and I teach anatomy to yoga teachers. And this podcast is an archive of the lessons I've learned along the way in my attempt to bring a more science-based approach into the yoga world. However, I'll throw a curveball in there and say I'm also deeply curious about the world of spirituality. So we're also going to dip our toes into that which science has yet to explain. If I had magical superpowers, I would take a rope, tie it around England a few times, and I would drag England with my rubber dinghy closer to Australia just so that I could hang out more often with Amanda Bisque. She is a glowing human being. She's just someone you want to be besties with. And her life is incredibly interesting because she started out as a professional athlete, but some unfortunate circumstances slowed her down, forced her to stop, and she had to start digging really deep to find solutions. If any of you out there, or if you know anyone who struggles with chronic fatigue, this is the episode to listen to, because Amanda Bisque has been there and is going to share her healing journey with all of us. Awesome. Thank you so much, Amanda Bisque, for joining me on Love at First Science.
Thank you so much, Celeste. I'm actually so excited. I've been following you for a while now, and I absolutely love what you do. So it's an absolute honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
The feeling is so mutual. And just before we get into all the questions I've prepared for you, can we just give a shout out to your amazing mum?
Oh, I know. She's incredible, isn't she? She's such an inspiration and just a trooper. Honestly, everything I throw at her, she will do it. No questions asked. She's amazing.
Yeah, basically every time I see the two of you doing a little training session on your Instagram, my heart is filled with so much joy and inspiration, because I think in one of the posts you mentioned that she's actually not someone who's ever exercised. And now you're like, come on, mom, we're doing this. And she just doesn't, she's just going for it. Like, no,
I know,
holds barred.
Honestly. Yeah, she was 72 when she first came to the gym. And I guess the reason I wanted to get her in the gym is we went to the beach one day and she hadn't been to the beach for a while. And we were just walking on the sand, going in the water. And I just noticed like how unstable she was and just how hard she was finding it to balance. And I was like, this is not good. And obviously the older you get, the more you lose your stability, or the more likely you are if you don't work on it. So I was like, okay, we got to go to the gym. We got to do something. So yeah, I was like, mom, we're going to the gym, let's do it. And honestly, straight away, she was just like, okay. And then I was like, we'll have coffee after. That was kind of like the bribe afterwards. But she absolutely loved it. And she came back every single week and she hasn't missed a week. She is an absolute legend. And I love her so much for it. And yeah, she never did any fitness or sport or anything like organized, like physical activity when she was younger. She grew up in rural Poland in Europe, and there was definitely not enough money for her to do sports and stuff like that. So it was just never her thing. So for her to pick up the gym and going every single week and just not being scared of anything and just believing in herself is really amazing. At 72 years old, she's 75 now, so absolutely killing it.
Honestly, such an inspiration. And so thank you for sharing her, and thank you to, you know, mention to her how grateful I am that she's open to you actually sharing her story, because it's a massive inspiration for people young and old. I always say there's not enough good role models that are like older people that have really basically dedicated to self-care. I feel like that generation, they don't understand the concept of self-care.
Definitely
it's
not.
Really all about putting themselves second. And although, you know, to them, that's the right thing to do, I feel like they don't understand actually how hard it is for the younger generation to see their degradation. And like, yeah, I understand that they had a lot of other challenges, so I don't want to give them too much of a hard time because they're amazing with all the things they have done. But yeah, it would be nice if the older generation was a bit more like, okay, yeah, I can do the gym.
Yeah, definitely, because it helps the next generations coming up. And I will definitely let her know that you've been watching her videos, because whenever I make videos with her, she's always like, who's going to watch this? And I'm like, trust me, mom, you've got more fans than I do. So.
And listen, this is quite unusual, because you were saying, you know, you obviously, I don't know your dad's story, but, you know, it seems like you've come into a family where maybe they didn't really have fitness as the central pillar, but you actually went to train as a professional athlete in pole vault. So how did that all come about?
That was actually, I would say my fitness journey is very much thanks to my dad. So my dad grew up in Poland as well. He did like a little bit of sport, but also as he got older, you know, getting into your 20s and 30s, he really focused on his career and then, didn't really do sport anymore. But when he had me, he really wanted to get me into sport. I mean, I think number one, I was driving him crazy because I had that much energy just bouncing off the walls at home. And number two, I think he knew how important movement and physical activity was for your health and preventing disease. And he actually has ankylosing spondylitis. So he was a bit worried that I was genetically going to get it as well. So I think he was kind of had a lot of forethought and was like, okay, I'm going to get into gymnastics. And I think I was 2.5 years old. So I wasn't even old enough to go to the class. You had to be like 4 or something. And he pretty much forced the teacher to take me to the class. And yeah, that's kind of how my journey to physical movement and just falling in love with sport and exercise kind of started. And it kind of evolved. I was a gymnast until I was 18 years old. And all through primary school and high school, I did sport. I was just obsessed with it. And I think it was really gymnastics that kind of put that fire in me and just loving being able to move my body and do amazing things. So that's why I just wanted to try all different sports in school. And then eventually I got talent identified by the West Australian Institute of Sport. So they came through our school when I was in my final year of high school and they ID'd me for high jump. So I was actually a high jumper for a little while. And then, saw the pole vaulters across the stadium and I was like, wow, I would really love to do that. And it was such a good combination between like athletics and gymnastics. And I was like, oh, I need to try this. So yeah, my coach knew the pole vault coach and they're like, do you want to give this girl a trial? And he was like, oh, she's a bit old because I was 18 at the time, which is not old, but normally pole vaulters are starting around, 10, 12 years old. My high jump coach, I think he did the really good sell. He was like, look, she's coordinated. She's done gymnastics before. Just give her a go. So I had a 2-week trial and then the rest was history.
Amazing. And you actually went all the way to the Commonwealth to compete for Australia. And then coming out of that experience, that's when things started to change. And I'm, really excited for you to share your story because this is what I find so inspiring about your journey. Can you just tell the listeners a little bit about this part of your life?
Sure. So in 2010, I went to the Commonwealth Games in New Delhi in India, and it was an amazing experience. It was honestly like the best achievement of my life at that time. And I performed okay. There's a whole backstory to it. I actually was injured 2 months leading into it. So I probably didn't have the best preparation, but I ended up jumping the third highest height. But unfortunately, there was 2 other girls who had also jumped to the third highest height. So on count back, I actually came 6th. So unfortunate that I couldn't make the podium. But anyway, still amazing experience. So it kind of gave me this fire. Because I didn't have the best preparation, I was so excited to get to the London Olympics. The Olympics was always my goal growing up. So as soon as we got home, we had a 2-week break, which was probably the longest break I had off exercise my whole life. But ended up coming back and didn't feel the same. It was really weird. I came back and just was not recovering from training sessions like I would wake up tired. And something was just really off. So I was like, okay, I need to see the doctor. I need to, get my bloods done, all of this. And they couldn't really find anything apart from like, maybe low iron, which I had always had. And then they'd be like, okay, well, you're just going to take some iron tablets and we'll see what happens in a couple of weeks, blah, blah, blah. And it never really got better. And then I just seemed to get worse and worse. So, I'd start to get really sore, achy joints. I would wake up really puffy, like so puffy. I would sleep for 10 hours a night and still wake up exhausted. So I just started getting all these symptoms. So I was like, okay, I need to go see someone else. So I started seeing specialists and, trying to get lots of different opinions from doctors. And eventually they diagnosed me with chronic fatigue. And I kind of remember the moment that I got diagnosed. They were kind of like, okay, we can manage this. The first thing I'm going to do is put you on antidepressants because that was kind of one of the things that could cover up the symptoms, I guess. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's a bit weird. Like, don't you want to figure out like why I'm like this? But okay, let's give it a whirl. So I remember getting, you know, this packet of antidepressants, taking it home, and I was just like, I don't know if I can do this. Like in my head, I knew it was just going to be a slippery slope of, you know, starting on medication that wasn't really helping the cause. And the moment's almost like a photo in my mind. I just stood there and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this into my own hands because nobody knows my body better than I do. Nobody knows my journey better than I do. So I'm going to figure out this on my own as best as I can. So I remember throwing the packet away. And then from that moment, just doing my best, really educating myself and trying as many different things as I could. And that's kind of where my journey to slowly getting better from chronic fatigue happened. And yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much for filling us in on that story. I remember reading your story and just my heart filled with so much compassion because I can imagine how hard it must have been for your younger self being this professional athlete and having these huge dreams and massive goals, and then really your body being like, I'm sorry, I can't take you to those dreams. And I actually get a bit choked up thinking about it because it must have been so hard for you.
It actually was. And I know to, you know, people out there who might have not grown up doing a professional sport or anything like that, you'd be like, why are you so upset? Like, just go find something else. But I guess you grow up with sport and doing well at sport. That's your identity. That is who you are. That is all you've ever known. That's what makes you you. That's what kind of helps you express yourself and show the world who you are. And when that gets taken away, you honestly, everything's stripped back and it feels like you're just a blob of nothing. And you're like,
yeah,
I don't know how to make people think like, you know, I'm a good person and I'm, you know, trying my hardest and I can achieve things. Like, I didn't know how to do that apart from doing sport and, you know, trying to impress my friends, my family, my, you know, people that would watch and just be like, this is my value. And then to have that taken away is so hard. And I definitely, you know, battled with depression and some very, very low points, which, you know, I think it was important at the time because we need our lows to get stronger and, you know, build up and learn things and find new paths. And it was actually a blessing in disguise because I wouldn't be where I am today if that had never happened. So.
Oh, amazing. Well, I mean, you're a true inspiration. And I think the real crux as to why I wanted to bring you onto the show, because one of the things I wanted Love at First Science to become is a place where people could listen to interviews such as this and then really get some useful tips and tools on how to improve their lives. And I know that a lot of people out there struggle with chronic fatigue. And I just thought, you know, what a perfect person to bring onto the show to talk about their journey. And I know that everyone's different and what potentially worked for you won't work for someone else. But to have someone's firsthand experience, I think, is sometimes even more valuable than some of the science out there, which is taking really the average, you know. But you are someone who's above average because you had to train at this high level. And now I know that you've gone into the world of business and using your talents to inspire people. So can you give us just some indication as to what the things are that you did, the changes that you made that brought you to a state of health and well-being?
Sure. Yeah. And I definitely agree with when you have real people going through something that you're going through, you really find that connection and it helps so much. It's like, you know, books and science, like you said, can only do so much. But I think if you have that personal connection with something, it really just, like, I don't know, it hits you in another way. So hopefully this story can help someone out there. But the first thing, I guess, was I really cut down on my training, and eventually I retired from pole vault, which at the time I didn't really know was my retirement, but it was. So that really forced me to kind of stop everything and reevaluate my life. So I had definitely a lot of empty days, I would say, where I had a lot of time to think about what I wanted to do, how I wanted to start to get better and all of that. So I guess my first plan of action was, you know what, I'm just going to try everything because, you know, some people will absolutely believe that this is the right way and other people will believe that is the right way. But honestly, we're all different. We all experience things differently. Different things help us. We thrive off different things. So I was just like, I'm going to try every single thing, no matter how crazy it might seem.
Your athletic mind coming into play, isn't it? You're like, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to train hard at being healthy.
Honestly, it was like 1% better. I'm going to do the 1% to get healthier. Like that was honestly my state of mind, I think, at the time. But I guess like the first main thing was nothing can really change unless my mind is strong. So I really made sure I looked after my mental health. And at the time, it was definitely very hard. I was at my lowest point. So, you know, I did a big like life cleanse and made sure I was hanging around the right people. I had good energy around me. And then I booked in to see a psychologist, which I think helped so much. So I had a sports psychologist initially, and then I got my own private psychologist as well. And I think that just really started to turn things around, because I know there was a lot of emotional baggage that I was hanging on to that was affecting me physically. So that was kind of the first major step that I took, which I think kind of led me to everything else. So obviously it didn't happen overnight. This is like years and years and years. I always tell people who ask me about, you know, chronic fatigue, it took over 5 years, I would say, of like, you know, my healing journey. So, you know, I still try and look after my mental health, which, yeah, I think is the grounding of everything else. So once I did that, you know, I started to learn a lot about nutrition. And one of the things I'd read about was how meat takes a little bit longer to digest, a little bit harder on the digestive system. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to try going vegetarian, see how I feel. We'll see what happens. And funnily enough, my mom is actually a vegetarian as well, so it wasn't too hard. And she's a great
cook. Unusual for a Polish woman.
I know, it's wild. I'm like, are you actually European? I don't know what's going on. But yes, I ended up changing to a vegetarian diet, which again, I'm not here to advocate vegetarian for everyone, but for me, I really found, you know, I didn't get that post-meal slump where I was sleepy and like lethargic. I felt like I was getting a lot more energy. I didn't feel so heavy, like not weight-wise, but just like heavy in the digestive system, all that kind of stuff. So that's something I changed as well. And still to this day, I'm a vegetarian and mostly vegan. So that's something that I think has definitely helped me. Then I did a lot of physical things. So a lot of acupuncture, physical treatment, biomechanics, just yoga, of course, and seeing specialists like chiropractors and things like that. I remember this one thing I did. So this was probably about 5 years into my journey, and I went to go see a chiropractor, and they did like an x-ray of my spine, and they were like, wow, have you ever had a fall or anything? And this comes back to the story about the Commonwealth Games and why I didn't do so well. But 2 months leading into the Commonwealth Games, I actually fell in pole vault and I landed in the box. So the box is probably about 4.5 meters, you know, down from where the bar is. And it's a metal box that sits in the ground. My left shoulder landed in the box, but my head landed on the buns. So it was not a good landing. And I remember that moment, and I was just so winded. And at the time, I actually didn't go to a proper doctor to actually get fixed. Yeah. So that was...
Professional athletes often don't.
Yeah, I know, because I wanted to fight through and be like, no, I'm fine. I'm going to the Commonwealth Games. It's fine. I can totally do this. So yeah, I remember that injury. I ended up bruising every single joint through my sternum. I couldn't move the next day. I couldn't even get myself out of bed. I actually had to get my training partner to like get me out. And then, yeah, I just thought back to that moment and I was like, oh my gosh, yes, actually I have had a fall and I never got that treated. And he was like, yeah, your thoracic vertebrae are like so out of whack. Your adrenals have been on for like years and years. And I was like, no way, that's crazy. So that was kind of like a surprise. And for me, like I always had gone like the soft tissue approach, you know, like massage and sports physio and all that kind of stuff. So chiropractor was quite strange for me, and like to go there and then have that diagnosis and have a realignment, that's helped so much. It was like unbelievable. So I always say to people, look, it's great. Like if you see a physio or a chiropractor or whatever it is, normally people are quite split on the topic. I was like, why don't you just try the other side, see how you go? You never know what's going to work. And then finally, probably the biggest thing that changed my life was yoga, and finding yoga. So obviously I'd retired. I wasn't able to really do anything. It was really hard to even just like walk, go to the shops and do my day, let alone do any sort of physical activity. So once I had made like all these other changes, I was like, you know what? I really need to do some movement. I need to go to a class or something. And I was like, I'm going to try yoga. Why not? It's something nice and gentle. Everybody talks about it being super reinvigorating, resetting, and like really helping your body. So I was like, okay, let's go. I went to a free Lululemon class down the road. And I absolutely hated my first class. I did not like it. I was like, no, this is not for me. But, you know, the next week I was like, I can't do anything else. I'm going to go back. And then, you know, with those classes, they have different teachers every single time and you'll do a different type of yoga every single time as well. And then, yeah, I kept going back week after week. I think it was, again, that athlete's state of mind. And I was just like, I'm going to keep doing this. I need to keep going. And, you know, I can't do anything else. I might as well try and make this my goal, is to just go every week and see what happens. And then eventually, you know, I got into the groove and I really started to fall in love with it. And that's where I started incorporating it into my daily life. And I started doing my own practice. And I kind of got to the point where I was like, I want to teach this. Like, I love it. And then, yeah, ended up getting my yoga teacher training qualification and then became a yoga teacher. So, amazing. Yeah.
It is such a pleasure to have you sharing your knowledge. And I mean, these are just such useful tools. I mean, first of all, what you said about mindset, you know, making sure you have a strong mind, that's a strong foundation. That is so incredible. And then kind of hitting it from every angle. And it's really incredible. Actually, I mean, I'm working with a lot of people that have sustained some kind of head trauma. And as a result, they really struggle with day-to-day activities. And I feel like possibly one of the reasons the chiropractor help you so much is because you sustain quite a severe whiplash injury because of the position of your neck and the way that you fell. And no wonder your thoracic spine was then trying to like hold it all together. That's literally incredible. Unbelievable. Yeah, do you still now have any kind of symptoms that you're dealing with, or have you completely rehabbed?
For me personally, I feel like I have completely rehabbed. You never know, something could pop up. But yeah, it was just so weird because at the time I never thought it was like this big deal. And I guess it just shows you how strong the mind is. Like, I was so set. I was like, I am going to the Commonwealth Games and no one is stopping me. I could literally have an arm chopped off and I still would have went. Like, it's just crazy. That's how strong the mind is. And that's how important it is for us to nurture the mind and make sure that we are mentally okay, so we can tackle, you know, life.
I don't know if you'll agree with this, but I feel like every time I'm sick and I'm talking something minor like a cold all the way through to something more severe like COVID, we gaslight our bodies and we're like, you are okay. And your body's like, you know, you're not the same. You know, you don't feel well, but you're like, no, you are okay. And you're going to do what I tell you. And you're like, wow, I feel really terrible, but I'm still going to carry on. And I just feel like it's like we're in a toxic relationship with ourselves sometimes. Oh.
And it's that like hustle mentality as well. I feel like so many of us are like, if we're not doing this, if we're not pushing through, if we're not working like all these hours a day, then you're not trying hard enough. That's why you're not successful, which I think is really toxic. And as you probably know, can affect you so much in so many different ways. I think it's something that we really need to change amongst society. And I think slowly it is. I think people are really starting to see how important it is to nurture your mind before you try and tackle anything else. And it's a constant thing. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to work with this psychologist for 3 weeks and then that's it. I'm good for the rest of eternity. It's a constant thing.
It absolutely is. And I just want to say, watching you and the content that you post on Instagram, you are glowing with health. I see you honestly doing some unbelievable things with your body, and you've always got this radiant smile and these sparkly eyes. And honestly, every time I see you, I just get this huge smile on my face. So I'm so happy that you're one of the positive influences that are out there on social media, because I think a lot of times people post things and you're just like, Wow. I don't know if this has made me feel better or worse, or it's just like this weird landscape, but you always, I don't know, you just show your amazing talents at the same time as making everyone feel good about what they've got and how they are. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much. Thank you. But also, I think it's important to remember that Instagram is a highlight reel, and I don't want people to think that I'm like that all the time. Yeah. Like my Instagram account, it did start very organically. Like I started it because my friends were doing it, but now it is also my work and it is my business. So I know that I have to front being positive, and that's what I want to share on the account. And I think in recent years, especially like the last year, I've really tried to share a bit more of like reality by my account. But yeah, I think it's really important to remember that Instagram is a highlight reel, and you know, I'm glad I come across happy and positive and all of that, but I'm not like that all the time. That's, yeah, I think, of course, the important message I want to put across as well.
I'm so, so glad that you said that. And yeah, that balanced approach, I think, because a lot of times people are comparing themselves to other people online, and
yeah,
we just don't know what's going on the other side of the screen.
Exactly. And I'll be guilty to that too as well. Like I'm so guilty of that as well, as I'll see other people and I'll be like, oh my gosh, they like have it so easy. Their life is awesome. But I'm sure behind the scenes, it's a shit show just like mine.
Absolutely, my love. Listen, one of the questions I really wanted to ask you, because I feel like a lot of people that have interesting stories like you have unusual health hacks that they can't live without. I mean, I do weird things like walk barefoot on the grass, and I tape my mouth shut at night. It's so good. I mean, these weird things that I do, I wear orange goggles at night. Like, honestly, I'm a total freak for the general population. Have you got any total freaks that you can share with us?
Well, I definitely try, I guess I would call it grounding. A lot of people call it grounding, but I try and be barefoot as much as possible. So walking around home, I'm barefoot all the time. And then at least once a week, I try and get my feet on some sort of like natural surface, whether that be running on grass with no shoes or being at the beach, going for a walk in the sand, like something that's uneven, just really grounding down with nature and uneven surfaces. Because I think we're so used to being in shoes that our whole body, like biomechanics, has changed. And I think it's so important for us to kind of like strip back a bit and start to retrain our body to be strong without shoes. So that's definitely probably one of the things that I do is a bit weird. And I'm just trying to think of anything else. I'm not sure. That's what I do. That's weird.
I'm sure it'll come to you. Don't worry if you can't think of anything else, but I'm loving that you at least do the barefoot thing. Honestly, the funny looks that I get when I'm walking around the park in my bare feet with, you know, doing my vision drills.
Oh, I guess another thing is like I've suffered with skin issues my whole life. So eczema I've had since I was a little kid. And now I've just kind of learned how our skin is like a sponge. Everything we put on it, honestly, is absorbed through our body. So, you know, I'll put things like my daily facial routine would be like hemp oil. I use hemp oil instead of a moisturizer sometimes. And the reason I love it is people are normally like, you can't put oil on your face, you're going to break out. But hemp oil actually has the perfect omega-3-6 ratio as skin.
Wow.
So it doesn't make you break out, which is amazing. So even if I want to do, even if I want to do like a facial scrub, I'll put a bit of, you know, Himalayan rock salt, crack that, put some hemp oil, rub it, and do like a little facial scrub. And your skin feels absolutely amazing after, and you don't break out.
Oh my gosh, this is incredible advice. I've also always struggled with my skin. I know, and it'll totally chill you out.
Totally, man. And if you do it before the shower, so even if you just, you know, rub the oil all over your body, you don't lose as much water when you're in the shower. Wow, so
amazing.
Yeah, we all kind of dehydrate in the shower, especially if you're having a hot shower. But if you do, a light oil kind of rub, I guess, all over your skin, and do that before the shower, so good. So good for your skin.
I'm loving this little tip. Thank you so much for sharing it.
No worries.
I guess another thing that I I mean, look, we've covered quite a lot of ground in the realms of chronic fatigue. You've spoken about mental health and lifestyle change, you know, being open to trying different professionals. But if you had to just like sit down with a group of, let's say you were doing a public speaking for a group of people that all had chronic fatigue, is there any one thing that you would be like, guys, you know, if only I had known this at the beginning of my journey?
I would say that the most important thing I did was getting my mind straight and seeing a psychologist or just having some sort of tools that mentally help me. I think that's okay. The most important thing. So if I was to sit in front of a group, I'd be like, this is the first step, because that mental clarity will help you discover everything else. Whereas if you're trying to fix things on the outside, but you're not mentally okay, it's like filling up a bathtub with all these good things, but this plug holes open and it just all comes out. Like, you know, that's like, if your mind's not right, it's not really going to help at all.
And so also I feel like when your mind is actually in a good place, it's almost like you have the motivation to try things. Whereas if you're already in the headset of like, do you know what, nothing's going to work. And on top of that, chronic fatigue is quite like it pulls you down. But if you also have that mindset of pulling down, the willingness to try new things is going to probably be very, very low.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I kind of advocate for trying a lot of different things. And that's even in the mental health space as well. So yes, maybe you can go see a psychologist, but maybe that's not for you. Maybe it's, hey, I need to readjust my friendship circle. Maybe I'm not hanging around the right people. Maybe I don't have enough support. Maybe I need to build more community. Maybe I need to do some more self-help and read some more books. So it can come in all different forms. And one specific thing isn't going to work for everyone either. So
I'm really glad you said that, because I remember doing a Vipassana meditation course, which was very intense. You basically have to do 10 days of silence and you're meditating for 10 hours a day.
Wow.
And to be perfectly honest, it was truly transformational. I really enjoyed the experience. However, one of the things which I would kind of flag as maybe I don't fully agree with is they said, you know, this is the only way. And I was like, I don't think you could ever say one thing is the only way, because we are all so different. And particularly the way we've been brought up and our values around certain topics. I think it's so nice that you said that. Like, even in the realm of mental health, guys, if you are looking to do something to help improve your life, don't be afraid to try lots of avenues and be okay if something doesn't work. Be like, all right, no worries. That just wasn't my jam.
Yeah, exactly. And that I think is true in every phase of your life as well. You know, like as you grow and get older, different things will work. And this is kind of like my philosophy with exercise and movement. So if you're not jamming something, hey, change it. No worries. Like it could have worked before, but maybe it's not working now. Maybe you have to come at it from another angle. And that's something like I've truly believed in for a long time now is change it up. If you're not feeling it, you don't need to sit there.
That is such great advice. And actually, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. Like, what does your training look like now? Because it still looks like you can do all the badass gymnastics stuff. I was like, oh my God, there's nothing this woman cannot do.
Oh, I actually haven't been to gymnastics in a long time. I've been really meaning to go. I'm supposed to go tomorrow. So hopefully I make it. But it's so funny because I know for me personally, I have so many different goals and I want to achieve so many different things with my physical fitness, but it is really hard to do everything and to fit it in. So if anyone out there is struggling on trying to do it all, don't worry, you're not alone. So at the moment, I am really working on building my strength and training with weights. So I've been doing a thing called Booty Club with my girlfriends, and we do that every Thursday morning, which is amazing. So I've started to do a lot of deadlifting, squats, single leg work, and really getting good at lifting weight, which is great. And, you know, I'm a pretty slight frame and I don't bulk up easy. So building muscle is really difficult for me. So this as a goal is quite a big challenge, and I think that's something I really need. So I'm glad I've kind of started it, but we're getting there. The booty's growing slowly. And yeah, just making sure I'm still incorporating things like gymnastics, because it's kind of like a use it or lose it thing. You know, I want to be able to do cool tricks and stuff for as long as I can. So you know, once a week, I'll always try and do handstands and cartwheels and try and make it to gymnastics class and all that kind of stuff. So that'll kind of be once a week, I'll do that. And then, you know, athletics has always been my passion and I love it so much. So I'll try and do a sprinting session. I'm not a distance runner. Many people think I like running, but I don't. My distance is like 400 meters. That's a distance event, right? Surely. So sprinting is definitely my thing. I would much rather do that. So I try and do a sprinting session or a long jump session once or twice a week. And then in and around that, I'll incorporate a little bit of Pilates and yoga as well.
Amazing. Amazing. It's so good to hear that you've actually tackled your fitness from every angle. You know, sometimes when people do that, I mean, for me, this is kind of what's going through my head. I'm like, you're just never going to get good at anything if you're doing so many different things, but it just gives me so much pleasure to do lots of variety. Exactly.
And it's like, you kind of do it in waves as well. So for me, I feel like there's this like 3 month time frame. I'll normally get obsessed with something, do it for ages. And then I'm like, nah, 3 months is up. I need to do something different. My body feels like it needs something else. So yeah, I'm definitely guilty and like chopping and changing a lot, but I think that's good also. So as long as, you know, you're mentally inspired and it helps you to get out and be active, I don't think that's a bad thing. So.
Awesome. And listen, is there anything that when you're like on Instagram or in the gym, do you see any kind of trends in the movement world that frustrate you that you're like, oh, guys, come on?
I guess the things that frustrate me is people who think there's only one way to do something and then this thing is the best thing you can ever do. I know for me personally, especially in like more recent years, the way I teach has definitely changed and my philosophies have changed a lot as well. And I think, you know, seeing people who are so fixated on this is the only way, it's like, you know, it's this method or that method or whatever it is. I don't know, like, I feel like we should all be open to trying different things and knowing that bodies change and react differently. So it's, I guess that's probably like the one trend that I don't, not hate, but like I'm not a fan of. I think it's important for us to learn from each other as well and not think that we're right and this is the only way, this is the way I learned, so it must be the way going forward. I think it's good for us to keep learning from other people and understanding. So even if you see something like a training method and you're like, oh, I'm not sure about that, hey, why don't you just delve a little bit deeper and actually see the reasoning behind? And you never know what can come of it. You can still learn something from maybe a type of movement that you don't like. You never know.
And what do you think is the future of the world of fitness and movement? Do you feel like there's any trends that are kind of coming into their own at the moment?
I think trends at the moment, like definitely building strength is such an important thing. And it's so great to see so many influencers and fitness professionals focusing on that and lifting weight, which I think is so important as well, especially as we get older, we really want to make sure we're maintaining that muscle mass. So I'm so glad that that's kind of hot right now. It used to definitely be a lot of HIIT workouts and jumping around and jump squats and all this stuff, which I'm also guilty of. Like, I know that I used to teach a lot in that style as well, and I'm trying to mold and change and learn. So it's definitely a direction
that
I'm going
in now.
Those
things are great too, 100%. But I suppose it's not to just like only focus on that one thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Finding a different way to do things and to see that, yes, you can do all the HIIT stuff, but incorporate all that strength and stuff is, awesome. So I'm glad that trend is kind of coming in. And a lot of kind of the more functional movement, I've seen a lot of people hitting on that topic, you know, like rotational strength and making sure you have the correct hip mobility and all that kind of stuff, I think is really cool to see. So I'm glad people are branching out and it's not just about burning calories, getting a sweat on and all that stuff. It's moving in a way that's really going to benefit your body. Yeah.
Amazing. And also you have an amazing platform of your own that's doing so well. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. So it's called Fresh Body Fit Mind. It's an app that's available on mobile and also on website version. And it's literally the home of everything that I've kind of learned over the years, being a professional athlete, being an exercise physiologist, being a yoga teacher, Pilates instructor, gymnastics coach, all that kind of stuff. I've tried to put it in a hub. So there's workouts, yoga, and Pilates. Plus we have 4-week programs, 30-day challenges, and we also have a plant-based recipe area as well. So it's full of everything. And yeah, that's kind of where I kind of spend most of my time, and it's constantly evolving and changing. So like I mentioned, me personally as a teacher, I'm really trying to grow and keep expanding my knowledge. So everything that I'm learning along the way gets put on that platform. So hopefully I'm sharing that with everyone that's on there as well.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for having such a wonderful resource out there for people to use. I think the fact that you've incorporated so many different styles, modalities, you've even got recipes on there. And really, it's almost like a mirror of your healing journey, this platform.
Yeah, I really do hope so. One of my biggest philosophies is variety and just exposing your body to as many different things as possible. So I'm glad that has come across in the app.
Amazing, my love. And listen, a question that I ask everybody at the end of our interview is, if you had one message for the world and you could text everybody, or you could put a big billboard up that everyone could see, and it doesn't have to be related to anything we even spoke about, but what would your message for the world be?
I guess my message is, this is probably something that's like just hit me in the last few years and I've really tried to hone in on it, is don't stress too much. Don't worry too much. If it's not going to matter in 5 years, don't let it take 5 minutes of, like, more than 5 minutes of your time. It's completely okay to feel emotions and feel sad and feel down and all of that stuff. But, you know, just know it's not going to last forever. Look forward, try and stay positive, and keep pushing on.
Amazing. I love that. If it's not going to matter in 5 years, don't let it take up more than 5 minutes of your time right now. This is gold.
Yeah.
And actually, I have to finish on asking, where can people find out more about you?
Oh, sure. So of course, on the app, Fresh Body Fit Mind, you can find it in the App Store, the Google Play Store, and also at our website, freshbodyfitmind.com. And pretty much if you want to keep up to date with me day by day, Instagram is the place to be. So just at Amanda Bisk.
Amanda Bisk, you are such a joy. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for doing what you do. And thank you for coming on Love at First Signs.
Oh, thank you so much, Celeste. This has been amazing and honestly a dream come true to be able to talk to you. So thank you so much for having me.
This feeling is very mutual, my darling. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you thought that any of the topics discussed today were helpful, please do share the show with your friends, family members, or your community via social media. Your support is what's going to help the podcast grow. So I want to thank you for your time and your attention, and I want to send you loads and loads of love at First Signs.